Robert, it's all yours.
Thanks, Marilu. Well, it's great to be here. I'm Robert Schwartz. I'm with the USDA ARS station in Bushland, Texas. And we do a lot of work in water conservation and improving water productivity in agriculture. We don't get that much rainfall, except some years we do, but it's quite variable. Where's the pointer? What's that? Oh, we did? Okay. I wonder if I can use... Well, we'll have to just go for it. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Travis Witt at El Reno, Oklahoma, Mauricio Ulloa in Lubbock, and Paul and Lewis also in Bushland. So, at our location in that region of North Texas High Plains, cotton production has been increasing in that area. And this is an area where we have, it's a thermally limited environment. In a lot of the areas where they raise cotton there, the elevation is 4,000 feet above sea level. And we also have quite a bit of delayed germination. Our soils are fine textured, so we tend to heat up in the spring very slowly. We have a lot of water content sometimes that slows the heating of the soil. And we also get crusting soil sealing, which also further delays emergence. We have a lot of emergence problems. We only have about 1,800 to 2,400 heat units Fahrenheit. And our irrigation needs to consider the amount of heat units we have. Some cultivars may perform better. Earlier medium maturity is a question in our area. Full maturity is often not achieved. We can grow a lot of biomass, but all this bowl production later in the season that doesn't open, these bowls don't open, it's going to decrease the water productivity, which is more or less the motivation of this study. So our objectives were to examine the response of six cultivars ranging from early to medium maturity. In our location, Bushland, Texas, the elevation is 3,800 feet. Typically, our heat unit accumulation is around 2,000 per year Fahrenheit per season. We wanted to look at water use and rooting depth, lint yield, and bowl load, lint quality, and interactions between the irrigation and cultivar and lint yield and lint quality. So this is just a summary of our progress. We started in 2014 and we didn't get a crop until 2016. This somewhat typical of this area. In some other areas of the northern Texas High Plains, they tend to have better conditions, coarser textured soils, but anything from hail, wind damage, heavy rain has impacted our ability to raise a crop every year. Last year, we couldn't have gotten a crop in until the 12th of June, so we didn't plant anything. It was just too late. We just don't have that many heat units to plant at that late of a date. 2020, we're going to try one more time. We'll see what happens. We irrigated the crops using subsurface drip irrigation. This is an alternate row configuration, so we have a drip line every other row. These are 30-inch rows. Dry land, 100% and 66% and 33% irrigation rates. And we typically, before first square, we didn't apply that much irrigation. We just let the water content go down to about 60% of available water content. And anytime we irrigate it this time, it just further slows our development because it's related to heat units. We seeded it at 60,000 plants per seeds per acre, and our final population is around 45, about one plant per square foot. Six cultivars, four reps, that gives you 96 plot replicates. And we monitored soil water contents with a Neutron probe for selected cultivars and selected irrigation rates. We looked at four cultivars over three irrigation rates. We didn't look at dry land for this. So that gave us about 33 out of 96 plots where we monitored water content. It's not possible to monitor all these plots with the Neutron probe during the season. We hand harvested, we manually picked the cotton in the field. For each treatment, we picked about 52 feet of row. And we did cotton plant mapping, but it's not reported here. The cultivars that we use in Delta Pine, Fibermax, Stoneville, and a Phytogen cultivar, were Roundup ready and BT technologies. We didn't have any insect or disease problems. We did have a small insect problem in 2016, the green bugs, which we treated quickly. In 2018, because of limited seed availability, we had to switch our cultivars. We've been planting the same cultivars for 3 years or 4 years prior to that, so we substituted the Delta Pine cultivars. The rest were the same. And these range from early, again, to medium maturity. This part, the heat unit accumulation over these 2 years, 2016 and 18, were quite similar, except for the fact that in 2016, we had delayed development. It took a very long time to get to first square, first flower, because of the limited heat units. Later on in that season, we caught up with the other season in terms of heat unit, but the way that it accumulated over the season is quite different. In 2018, one other thing. During cutout, we had 6 inches of rainfall, cool temperatures, and that affected, I think that affected our results for that year in 2016. 2018, we had a significant rainfall, 7 inches prior to harvest. That obviously affected our quality. And killing freeze occurred during harvest in 2016 and just prior to harvest in 2018. Let's go back. The irrigation rate, you can see we slowed down after cutout in 2018. We tended to slow our applications of irrigation at that time. Okay, cotton water use. We did have to irrigate what we call the dry land right after to ensure emergence. The soils were dry in 2018, and also we had added a supplemental amount in 2016. This was just to establish the crop. We found no cultivar effect on water use for those four cultivars. And the use of stored water was only 2 to 4 inches, even under the dry land. So as opposed to what, I was surprised to see the 6 to 10 inches in Arizona. That's astounding. We usually don't see much more than 4 or 5 inches of water use in this soil during the season for cotton. If we look at the water profiles with depth, we had deeper rooting in 2016, probably because we had a little more water in the deep part of the profile. 2018, we used it to about a meter and a half, and there was no cultivar effect on rooting depth if we base the water use profiles on this. And using this analysis, we can compare the extraction depth, and there was no cultivar effect on that depth. And there is a trend, however, for increasing rooting depth with reduced irrigation, but it wasn't significant. In 2016, there was no significant response to irrigation for all the cultivars except for one medium maturity cultivar. The yield decreased with increasing irrigation, and early maturing cultivars had greater yields than medium and early to medium cultivars. So our early cultivars did the best that year. In 2018, we saw a strong response to irrigation. cultivar effect on yield was not evident, however, until we got to about 66 to 100% irrigation rate. So at the lower irrigation rates, the select cultivar selection didn't really matter. The early medium cultivars in this year had the greatest yield at the 100% irrigation level. So if we look at, we've taken canopy temperatures in several manners, but and also you can look at the canopies here. It agrees pretty well with our irrigation rates. The trend is pretty evident. We had probably 100%, close to 100% canopy cover. These pictures were taken about early September, and our thermal images pretty much compare with our canopy cover that we can see in these pictures. So the bowl load, essentially, the open bowls mimicked yield results. Is very the figures are very close if you compare them. I'm not going to go back, but they look very much similar in terms of looking at the irrigation response to open bowls. It's fairly similar. In 2016, we had a greater bowl yield, but we had less lint yield, and that's because we had a considerable amount of unopened bowls, even under the dry land treatment. We did in 2018 have quite a bit of fruit shedding and bowl shedding under dry land, and 33%. So if these bowl loads, you can, it's given in bowls per foot, but we have about one plant per square foot. So you can see there's about, under dry land, there's about three open bowls per square per plant. There's a significant effect of irrigation and cultivar on Micronair, but this differed with respect to year. I haven't been able to interpret this very well. We probably had low Micronair at the high irrigation rate due to immature fibers in 2016. In 2018, it's more difficult. We are seeing a little bit, as an earlier talk, tend to see a little bit better Micronair with lower irrigation rates. Fiber length significantly increased with irrigation in 2018, and to some extent in 2016, some of the cultivars didn't have a significant effect. But the Phytogen 333, however, did not respond. The fiber length of that variety did not respond to irrigation. It was consistent across the irrigation rates. Medium early to medium maturity cultivars had the greatest fiber lengths, which is not too surprising. With respect to uniformity, we did see a slight increase with irrigation rate. It was significant, but it was a very small effect. I think, again, the Phytogen appeared to respond differently in terms of uniformity. So the conclusions, even though we had similar heat unit accumulations in 2016 and 2018, lent yields were 71% greater in 2018. So it depends on how these heat units accumulate, obviously. Yes, 3 to 4 bale is possible in this region, but not very often, and that has to be considered. It sounds good, but there's a lot of problems that you have to overcome in the other years where you're not going to be able to see much more than a bale and a half or 2 bale cotton in this area. Cultivar selection was only important at the higher irrigation rates. Early to early medium maturity cultivars had the greatest yields. There's just not enough thermal energy for lint yield benefits from these medium maturity cultivars in this area. Rooting depth, crop water use was not influenced by cultivars, and Micronair and fiber length are most affected by irrigation. So that's all I have. Thanks for your attention.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Rob?
Thank you all.